Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're here this morning, and if you're a visitor with us today, I give you a special welcome. We're delighted you're here on this cold, for a Floridian like me, very cold morning. If you have a Bible, you'll want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And while you're turning there, let me just say that at 12:45 today, I'm going to have a very informal meeting to which many are invited, please, in a little tiny room, so we may be a bit crowded, so please come and fill up the room. And what we're going to do in this meeting is just begin a little study together on what Christianity is all about. So maybe you've been here, maybe this is your first time, or you've been here a long time. And you've just wondered, what is all this Christian fuss about? Well, we're going to talk about that. What's all the fuss about? And it's going to be a very informal time and a time where I hope I'll get to know you. And we'll be doing this for about 6-8 weeks on Sunday afternoons right after the worship service. So please feel welcome to come. For a number of weeks now, we've been talking about the mission of God's people on this planet. We began by saying that one of the chief things that the Church of Jesus is to do is to be a people who worship the Creator of all things. And then we began to see that there's another thing that's chief among the things we are to do, and that is what we often call reaching out to other people, trying to bring other people into the mercies and the grace of God through the good news of Jesus. Well, this morning, we continue that, but with a special focus, because today is a special Sunday in the life of this church. This is a Sunday when we're going to have a special program, even this evening, on the mercy ministries of this church. Now, if you don't normally come out on Sunday night, I want to encourage you to come this Sunday night. There's going to be food. It's free. Other people have paid for it. You're their guest. And more than that, the program put together by Elder Tom Phillips is going to be outstanding. And you will learn so much about what opportunities there are for people like you and me to be involved in showing the kindness and mercy of God to other people. So even if you don't normally come, TiVo the football game, it'll be on, it'll stay there, and come on in and have dinner, and sit around for about 45 more minutes, and listen to what's going on. I think you'll be pleased. Deuteronomy chapter 26, we'll begin in verse 12. Hear now the word of God. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, these are words spoken by Moses so very long ago. And frankly, this is not a part of the Bible that we read very much. We hear about the tithe, and we hear about this and that, and we wonder what in the world this might have to do with us. We come to you now because we know that only you can explain these things to us. Only if you send Holy Spirit to us and fill our hearts, would our eyes be open and our ears unstopped to see and to hear what is so precious in these words you have given us. So please grant us that mercy, and as you do, we promise you our thanks and our praise for it. Amen. I was talking with some friends on the phone just this week, and I knew that they were very near retirement. And so I was sort of congratulating them and saying, you know, this is great. I know you've been working hard for this for a long time, and aren't you glad it's about to happen? And there was silence on the other end of the phone. Finally, my friend said to me, he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but our retirement funds have dropped so drastically that we're going to have to keep working. And then he said, Richard, this is the worst time in history to begin to retire. I think we all know what he's talking about. The economic crisis of this country and the world is threatening many of our plans for things like retirement and the like. Some of you who have been retired for a while have now seen your own incomes threatened. Others of you are seeing your jobs threatened. Some in this church have actually lost their jobs. I know this because we've talked about it. And so you would wonder then, if this is the worst time to think about retirement, well, isn't this about the worst time you could possibly have a church think about mercy ministries? I mean, after all, money is tight, and it's tight on us now. So why in the world are we thinking about the ministry of showing kindness and generosity to other people when things are so hard and are going to get harder for us? Well, I'm convinced that this is not the worst time for us to talk about this. This is the best time. Because it is in this time, as in other times of economic crisis, that the Church of Jesus Christ will rise up and be what it is supposed to be. This is the time when the body of Christ will recognize what's important and what's not important. And we will become a beacon of light and hope and mercy to people all around us who think that all things have come to an end simply because they don't have as much money as they used to. So this is just the right time for you and me to spend a Sunday reflecting on what this church does under the auspices of mercy. We just read a passage that comes from the Law of Moses, and usually we think about that and go, the Law of Moses? I don't know about that. But it is a passage that is relevant to the issue of mercy, but it talks about things that we may not be familiar with. For example, it talks about a tithe that was given every third year. Now, we don't talk about tithing here very much, partially because when Jesus came to this earth and brought salvation to the world through his death and resurrection, many of the things that were taught in the days of Moses are expanded. Many of the responsibilities and opportunities have become even larger for us who follow Christ. So if you were to ask me, Richard, should I tithe? My answer is basically going to be, well, that's where you should begin. But I think the teaching of the New Testament is, we give whatever it takes for the kingdom of God to move forward. If that's everything you've got, then it's everything you've got. But apart from that, we can see in this passage the heart, the centerpiece of why God established this tithe in ancient Israel. It's because it was a ministry of mercy. The first thing I want us to notice from this passage is that we're told here that God has a special concern for certain kinds of people. Oh, it's true. And if you're not a follower of Christ today, I want to tell you this is true. God has kindness, and he shows kindness all the time to everyone who lives on this planet, including you. But there are some people in this world that get God's special attention. Listen to how Moses puts it in verse 12. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Did you notice those special people? The Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows. In the days of ancient Israel, these were people who were especially dependent on the kindness of others. The Levites were more or less like your preachers today, dependent on voluntary contributions. In their day, they didn't own houses, they did not own land, and so they were very much on the edge of total economic collapse all of their lives if they were serving God the way they were called to serve him. So God says, I want you to bring this special offering, and I want it to be given to the Levites. But then he goes from bad to worse. And he says, not just the Levites, but the aliens, or as the old King James says, the stranger. Now, you might have the impression that these are people who are ancient tourists, who are wandering around, visiting the sites, the holy sites around Israel. Well, that's nice, and spending lots of money. No, that's not what it was like back then. The alien or the stranger was someone who was homeless, who may have come from another country or from another city, but was so destitute that they had no place to lay their head, no job. They couldn't find a job. In fact, if you wanted to insult tourists in the ancient world, rich people who would travel around, what you could call them was a stranger, an alien, and that would insult them. Yeah, they were xenophobic even back in the old days. So these people, too, were those that were on the edge, those who were in need of and depended upon the kindness of people around them. And then Moses moves to a third category, the fatherless. You have to remember that back in the days of the Old Testament, there were no orphanages. Usually, infants would be cared for by some woman or by some family for a while, but as soon as they got to be a problem, they were put out on the street. And in Israel, it was like it is in many countries today, where you go to the large cities and the streets are filled with children begging for food, begging for clothes, just trying to eke out an existence and depending on kindness to make it through. And then the last category, the widows. Remember, please, they had no Social Security back in the Old Testament. They had no pension funds. They had no big estates that most women would be able to acquire and then draw from over the years in their senior days. Instead, what was usually the case was an older woman whose husband died. She was destitute. All you have to do to know what that looks like is to go somewhere in the former Soviet Union and walk down the street of a city, and you will see babushka. Everywhere, grandmothers everywhere on the side of the street selling whatever they can possibly find just to make enough money to eat because their pensions are so small they cannot survive on them. Notice here that this offering, this tithe, was not given to the church so that it could build bigger buildings or keep the lights on or support a large staff. No, that's not what it was all about. It was all about taking care of those who were vulnerable, those who were weak, those who had no options but to depend on the kindness of others. And please don't make this mistake, because usually when we think of tithing or giving offerings, we think of writing a check and sticking in an envelope or sticking in an offering plate. That's not what we're talking about here. In fact, what used to happen in the days of the Bible is they would actually bring animals with them, and that would be their offering. They would bring food with them. That would be their offering. They would bring clothing and other possessions along with them, and that would be their offering. And if they lived too far away to carry all those things to Jerusalem or wherever else they might be going, they would sell those things, take the money, go to Jerusalem, and then buy them. This is hands-on mercy ministry that Moses is talking about here. Not writing a check to some organization and forgetting about it. That's easy enough to do. This is hands-on. It's a lot like a lawyer doing work pro bono because the person can't afford it. Or like a doctor or nurse who works in a free clinic. It's a lot like people who spend time going to the hospital just to visit those who are ill, or those that go to nursing homes to visit the elderly. Do you know that in this church, one of the finest things this church does is that it has a ministry to the homebound members of this church? Do you know that? It's very quiet. A lot of people don't know about it. It is one of the greatest things that this church does. Once a month, about 20 people get together right after church while you've gone home to eat lunch and watch the football game. They get together and they go to the homes of our homebound members and have a little worship service with them. We do it once a month now. We ought to have it happening every week. But there just aren't enough people interested. And you don't think that kind of thing might be effective or that kind of thing might be good? Well, let me tell you about my mother. My mother has been in assisted living now for 7 years, and it has not been easy. She's losing her sight. She can barely walk. And every time I'm in town, I'm visiting my mother almost every single day I'm there, spending an hour, 2 hours with her. But, you know, she's never impressed by that. The funniest thing. But I'll tell you who she is impressed with. There's a woman in my church in Orlando, Florida, who never knew my mother, who is not a friend of my family, who comes to visit my mother for 2 hours on Thursday afternoon, every Thursday afternoon. And do you know what I hear about every time I go there? Nancy this, Nancy that, Nancy this. I say, what about me? I'm here all the time. But no, it's Nancy who lifts my mother's spirits. It's Nancy who shows kindness to my mother. It's Nancy who ministers to her. Hands-on mercy ministry. Think about the life of Jesus. When he saw people hungry, when he saw people sick, did he write them a check? Did he say, here's some money, go to the doctor? Here's some money, go to the restaurant? No. He touched them. He entered their lives. He did hands-on mercy. Tonight in the meeting, you're going to find about 15 to 20 ways, simple ways, nothing big, no huge commitment, but about 15 to 20 ways you have the opportunity to put your hands into the ministry of mercy, just like Moses commanded Israel to do in the Old Testament. Will you take the opportunity? You see, God has special concern for certain kinds of people, the vulnerable, the weak, those who are on the edge, because that's not what the image of God was designed to be. and so he cares. As we continue in this passage, we notice something else here, not just God's special concern for certain kinds of people, but our sacred devotion. Our sacred, holy devotion. Listen to what's said in verse 13. After telling them what to do, Moses then says, "Turn to the Lord and say this, 'Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion,'" that's the offering, "'and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them.'" Did you notice what the people were to say and how they were to describe what they did? They were supposed to describe it as their sacred portion. That is, the part of what was theirs that they considered special, that they considered devoted to God. Not something that they were giving up just to give up to people, but something that was holy for God. We have a hard time with that because we don't know very many things that in life today are sacred or holy, but you can think of it this way. A lot of you think that going to your home games at your university is sacred, holy, can't do without it. It's devoted over to God, so I gotta go. Used to be that people would think of coming to church on Sunday morning as a sacred portion of their lives. Didn't it used to be that way? Now it's not so much that way. Not even here. We know what it means to say that parents have a sacred responsibility of caring for their children. And that if you have a disabled child or you have a sick child, you know this is a special sacred portion of your life that you're not just giving to your child, but you're giving it to God. And we know how sacred it is for children to care for their aging parents, even in a day when people don't. So we have an idea here of just what it means to say that my mercy, my hands-on mercy work, the energy that I would give to someone else who needs that kindness is a sacred thing. And so it's something I simply must do, not something that I think in terms of, well, maybe, maybe not, if I get around to it, but something that I feel is that important, it's that central in my life. How could I do anything but this? There's a family here in this church, and I always compliment them because it is an amazing situation where the son is caring for his mother. And every time I see him, I go up to him and I put my arm around him. I said, "I am so proud of you for what you do," because I know it's not easy. "I'm so proud of you for what you do, the way you care for your mother." And he just looked at me one Sunday and said to me, "Richard, what else am I going to do?" You see, that's a sacred duty. That's a sacred portion. What else am I going to do? Well, of course, she's my mother. Well, of course, he's your God. And isn't it amazing how hard we find it sometimes to be kind and to be merciful to other people when Jesus has been so kind to us? Is there any follower of Christ here today who does not know that day after day after day, Jesus shows mercy to you? He doesn't give kindness to people who deserve it. He gives kindness to people who are weak. He gives kindness to people who are on the edge of destruction. He gives kindness to people who know just how much they can't survive without it. If he has given you that kind of mercy, surely you can show that kind of mercy to others who do not deserve it. If they deserve it, it's payment. It's not mercy. And so we find Moses telling the Israelites, when you go to the Lord after you've given this offering for the Levites, for the aliens, for the orphans, for the widows, then go to the Lord and say, I've done it. I've done my sacred obligation. I have done exactly what you've asked me to do because it is so sacred to me. Well, what kinds of expectations should we have if we actually follow through with what God wants us to do in ministries of mercy? We can tell from the way that this prayer ends. Look again at verse 15. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us as you promised on oath to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, Lord, I have been kind. Now you please be kind to me and bless me. And indeed, in the days of the Old Testament, these were physical, sociological, economic blessings. The land of Israel was called the land of milk and honey, and what that meant was that the cows would be so fertile that you could not milk them all in time to keep the milk from dripping and flowing down the sides of the hills. The bees would make so much honey that the honey would overflow their hives because you could not harvest it quickly enough, and it would start rolling down the hills. It's an image of just how great life can be, what prosperity is like in the land of Israel in the days of the Old Testament. Bless us, Lord, because we have been a blessing to others. Show mercy to us because we have shown mercy to others. Now, the New Testament tells us something about all those blessings that Israel could have had had they been faithful to the Lord. They weren't, and so they didn't get very many. But the New Testament tells us something. It tells us that those who trust in Jesus will one day inherit what the Bible calls the new creation. And that new creation that will come when Jesus returns will be far greater than anything the land of Israel could possibly have become. The riches and the wealth and the prosperity and the joy and the delight, the exuberance that we will have in that new world will be immeasurable. But the New Testament also tells us something else. None of that is guaranteed now. If you want to hear that if you give a little bit of money to Mercy Ministries and God will bless you and make you rich for it, then you need to watch Christian television. Plenty of people say that on Christian television, but not here. Here I'm going to tell you the truth. You may give money, you may give service, and in this life see no financial or sociological or economic benefit whatsoever. The Apostle Paul, who gave his whole life to the ministry, never received prosperity in this life. Jesus, the Lord of all, who suffered to the point of death for the sake of the good news, was never in this world a wealthy person, a secure person. He was always among the very weak. God does not promise that for people who live between the first and the second comings of Christ. But I will tell you what he has promised. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have already, right now, received a portion of the blessings that are going to be ours in the new world. A deposit guaranteeing our full inheritance in the world to come. And do you know what that guarantee is, what that deposit of blessing is? He tells us plainly. He says, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The joy, the peace, the patience, the comfort, the wonder, the power of the Spirit of God living in you and among us. That is what we receive now, and it is guaranteed to us. If you get more than that in this world, you're getting extra. If you have a secure job, it is an extra thing for you. If you have good health, it's extra. What you are guaranteed is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And you say to me, Richard, why would I want that? I'd rather be rich, please. Well, let me put it to you this way. Do you know what Independent Presbyterian Church needs more than anything else? Do you think for a moment that what we need in this church more than anything else is more money? Do you think for a second that the most important, the greatest need that we have in this church is to meet the budget? Do you think that those kinds of trivial things are really what is required here? I can tell you, I've been here long enough to say this to you. Those things hardly matter at all. I can tell you what Independent Presbyterian Church needs more than anything else. It needs a great outpouring of the blessings of the Holy Spirit upon it. We must become a people who thrive in the joy and in the wonder and in the power and in the grace of the Spirit of God. Money matters will take care of themselves if that is happening here. And no amount of prodding or pushing or worrying or trimming back will fix it if the Holy Spirit is not among us and if we are not enjoying those wonderful blessings of Holy Spirit that are guaranteed to us now in this time. So now hear the word of Moses to you. Do you want your family blessed by Holy Spirit? Do you want your church blessed by Holy Spirit? How can it be done? Become concerned about the people with whom God is concerned. The Levites, the aliens, the orphans, the widows. And acquire your sacred portion, your hands-on ministry to them. And when this church becomes that kind of church, where it's known for being a church of mercy, a church of kindness, a church of generosity, then we will see the blessings of the Holy Spirit poured on us as never before. That you can be sure of. And when that happens, you will rejoice. This may be the worst time to think about retiring, but it's not the worst time to think about the mercy ministry of the church. It's the very best time. Because now we have, even among us here today, people who have lost their jobs, people who are losing their homes, people that have no sense that things are going to get better anytime soon. And this is the time when the body of Christ must rise up and show the mercy of Christ to our friends and our neighbors here and outside of our church, that we might receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you and we honor you We thank you so much that you were a merciful man. And we ask you to make us merciful men and women today. Write these words in our hearts that we might not sin against you and that we might enjoy the blessings of the Spirit whom you sent to us. Amen.